listeners, tonight's guest is Charlie Day, and we're so happy to have him. Thank you, Charlie, for being here.
Yay. I'm thrilled to be here.
You just flew in from Australia, so it's especially nice that you're here. You weren't even able to sleep on the plane because
I did not sleep on the child plane business. Because the child did not sleep on the plane.
Were you able to watch movies? Do you plug your child? I plugged my child in guiltily.
Oh, he watched 15 hours of movies.
Yeah.
So his brain is...
What did he watch?
Officially melted. Not entirely even sure. I mean, he watched like Ice Age and he watched... Big Hero 6, and you know, by the 12th hour of flight, when he was like, I could not get him to sleep. I was like, I don't know, what is he watching over there? Is he watching like Saw?
What did you watch? No.
I watched The Fugitive,
which I'd
never seen before.
Oh, you mean
You're kidding me.
The one with Harrison Ford?
Yeah, and I'm like, why have I never seen this movie?
It's pretty great, right? Does it hold up?
I loved it.
It's pretty great, right?
I mean, I was like tapping my wife like. Yeah, I was like, hey, Mary Elizabeth, this Fugitive movie is pretty good.
I have to ask you, how did you miss that movie?
I don't know. I mean, what year did that come out?
Probably, I would say 94 or 93.
Yeah, I just...
You were too busy watching Titanic over and over.
Yeah, I was just on the Titanic.
Crazy.
That was 96, I think.
Fuck you.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Fuck you,
Sam.
That was early in the podcast.
You wait till much
know,
later. Before
but that
you
kind
say,
of annoyed
you.
Me.
You went straight for the jugular.
Yeah. What else did you watch? Sorry, because
I gotta think about that, and
I'm curious is because I have specific movies that I watch on airplanes, and specific movies that I don't. Like I don't watch a lot of action movies on airplanes. Mm. I'll watch a little more comedies.
I watched The Grand Budapest Hotel again.
Great.
Seen it already, but I get more and more out of it each time.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I don't know why Ralph Fiennes wasn't nominated for, was he? Maybe he was, but he was amazing in that movie.
That's why the whole awards thing is like, well, that's just crazy.
Right.
You can't be like, well, that's not an award worthy performance. It's incredible.
He's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
But I could go on a whole big tangent about the award stuff.
Yeah, right, I'll go with it.
You know what? But I wouldn't if I won one.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
If I had a couple of Oscars over there, I'd be like, no, what are you talking
about? These are very serious, prestigious awards.
Yeah.
And they mean a lot.
But no, I don't think I'll ever really win anything. But that's okay. You know what? I've won in other ways, goddammit.
Yeah, yeah. Guess what? You can't win at acting. That's the stupidest thing in the world.
It is.
It is the dumbest thing in the world. Like, Tiger Woods wins. He gets the ball in the hole the least amount of times.
Right.
Meryl Streep is great. She doesn't win. Like, what does that mean? It's like, oh, this performance is so good. Oh, it's so good. And you win. Like, you
right.
can't. You like, how do you win?
But aren't there times where a performance is just so much better than everyone else? I mean, I'm sure there
no.
are cases. No?
Because
is it really just completely subjective?
Of course it is.
I think so. I think you're completely right, Charlie. And I also think, too, that so much of it has to do with the story behind the success of the person or the journey of the actor or... Yeah, I don't know. It's
a ridiculous practice, and it would be so sweet to get an award.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. I know.
It would be so great.
But I had a friend tell me who's been nominated, I think, like 6 or 7 times, maybe 8, and hasn't won. But she told me, and she knew every time she wasn't going to win. She just knew, towards like the 5th nomination, she's like, I know I'm not going to win. But she said that that every time, though, the names were being called, she had this like millisecond of hope, even though she had suppressed and she had been like convinced. She had this millisecond of hope when her name was called. And I just, oh, if there's something that's kind of heartbreaking about that, like...
Well, I've done 12 years of a television series that has not only have we been completely ignored by all those award shows, but we haven't even been invited to like attend. Like we can't come out and say, and the nominees for best comedy are like, there was one year where the Emmys said, if you guys want, you can come to the technical awards, which are the ones that they don't televise, right. right? And you can present best stunt coordination, because the only thing that we've won is a stunt or been nominated for is a stunt coordination.
Really?
And which is crazy. And we should have won. but so we said, all right, great, we'll do it. And they said, is DeVito available? We're like, oh, Danny actually isn't in town. They're like, all right, never mind. You can't even come to that. So fuck them. Can we swear on this?
Yeah.
So, you know, it feels like a party in high school that you're just never invited to.
Yeah, yeah.
So it sucks.
But do you guys get disappointed? I mean, you guys have been around for 12 seasons now, and your show has consistently been, in my opinion, one of the funniest comedies has been on for the past 12 years. So at a certain point, do you get aggravated, or are you just like okay with the fact that the Academy isn't giving you
Become numb to it? I mean, it's just that feeling of like it would just be fun to go to the party,
right?
You know, like the actual validation you get from it means nothing, but like, but it that's the part that would be fun is 1 second of you every time they announce that you think, oh yeah, oh man, maybe it would be fun to, we could just go and we could wear a tie and
but you know. I think it's because it's so ahead of its curve. It's that your show is incredibly progressive.
And I think 2005, when we came out, there wasn't a lot of, there was almost no basic cable comedy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think by the time people really started to find the show, we were already 3, 4, even 5 seasons in. And then I think it's the kind of thing where it's like, well, you don't want to vote for something that's already 5 seasons old. It's always about like what's fresh and what's new.
Right.
I don't know that, or the show's not that good. But.
No,
the show is incredible. And this season, you guys are on top of your game. The first episode was brilliant.
Oh, well, I'm glad you feel that way.
This last season, yeah.
Yeah, I feel good. Yeah. I'm still very happy with the show.
Yeah, well, you're fucking brilliant on it. Do you remember when we met down at Chibo years ago?
I feel like I remember.
Oh, you don't. We met at a
reading. That we did a reading together.
I think we did a reading together, but I also really I met. We had like a brunch together at Chibo years ago because I called my agent and because I had seen the first season and I called my agent and I was like, I really, really, really want to meet this guy Charlie Day. You don't remember this?
And we had just lunch?
Yes. We just like hung out and because there was a project. I don't even remember what the project was.
How did I not remember that?
I don't know.
Are you sure it was me?
I'm positive. I am positive because
I would remember that.
I just remember flagging you as such an incredible talent. Oh, I'm bummed.
Why did nothing ever come out of this lunch?
It really was like 2004.
Oh my God.
It was a really long time ago.
Yeah. So,
because that was probably right.
It was 05, probably when the show aired.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, right around there. But
what did we talk about?
We just like chatted, and I think I gave you lots of compliments, but I'm sad that you don't. Maybe we had some drinks. I don't know.
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, rats.
Are you but sure what did this? I'm having the hardest time.
I'm 100% positive.
No, you're probably totally right because I
don't have the best memory. But
I delete
what
files
did we
like
read
the second
for?
I use them.
Do you remember what we read for?
We did. Yeah, it was a Mike Judge movie that never got made.
This I don't remember.
Yeah, it was just like you were there. I was there. The guy, the kid from like the American Pie movies, whose name is
Jason Biggs.
No, the other guy that was in Election, who's so brilliant in Election.
Chris Klein.
Yeah, was in the reading and.
Huh. I wonder
Gary
if I
Cooper.
Did well. I probably didn't do very well.
You did great. I remember thinking you did great. But you know what? But I think we had already met by then.
Yeah,
well,
at your brunch.
Chibo.
At Chibo, which I've clearly forgotten. Oh my God.
No, it's fine. I mean,
they should have had you on the show or something.
I would love to.
Well, that was, I mean, I guess I went through about a good 12 years of forgetting that we met.
Well, I'm glad you're here now. So, okay.
Good to see you again.
Great to see you too. So your movie Fist Fight opens February 7th.
I think it's February 17th, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did I say 7th? Sorry, 17th.
Don't get them too excited.
And it's really fucking funny. And I don't know if you feel like going into it or we can go into it later. You're probably bored about giving like the stand? What's the most common question you've been getting at on the press tour?
No, I'm right at the beginning of it. So I'm about to really go crazy with it tomorrow.
So it's going to be like, were you nervous fighting Ice Cube?
Yeah. So I haven't had them all yet. Yeah. What's it like to work with Ice Cube? Like the question you're going to get, you know? And have you ever been in a fist fight? Probably, I'm assuming.
Have you?
Yeah.
Did you win?
I haven't really punched many people, but I've been punched a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, I'm just like a random little wise ass kid, you know what I mean? And then eventually a big guy would be like, I'm just gonna punch this guy. And then
did that have a big impact? I mean, not besides the physical stuff, but did that make you, did you feel, because I got kind of bullied. I didn't get punched. But I think that that's part of the road of my acting journey, too.
I'm sure.
Leaving my hometown, you know, all those things combined.
Yeah. I wasn't bullied, but it would just be spats or whatever, arguments. And then someone would actually punch you and then that would just end it.
What about bar fights?
No, I think
this was more when you were younger.
Younger. Yeah. I mean, by the time I got to bars, a fight would almost pop up. But I'd usually you know what? Here's a good story. So I was in a bar in Rhode Island. This was
I like it.
New Year's.
All right, New England fights are the best.
And I'm hanging out with my buddy, and I hear it's a real Irish bar, and I hear a guy, an old guy, go, "Nah, I think it's a chunky girl. Nah, it's a wee lad." And I'm like a fucking leprechaun, and I turn around. They're talking about me. And he's just trying to take the piss out of me. And he's going on, he starts calling me a long hair. He's like, "Yeah, fucking long hair."
What does that mean?
Like a hippie or something.
You had longer hair at the time?
No. My hair was the same size as
you're used to seeing it. So he's calling you a chunky girl.
A chunky girl, a wee lad, and a long hair. And I said, dude, you know what? Go fuck yourself. Which is my favorite thing to say to anybody.
Yeah, no, that's great.
But the next thing I know, this drunk Iron Man had his thumb halfway down my throat with an iron claw on my face, and someone pulled him off me, and that's how I get hit in the face a lot. And
I like that, though. You were not taking it.
No, I never take it, and that's the problem. That's the problem, because, but I don't did. I don't think I've ever hit
Which one
anybody.
Was the worst? Chunky girl, wee lad, or long hair?
Oh, I liked them all. I thought they were all great. Yeah, I mean,
was there
I was
any
getting a kick out of the guy.
One that made your of those that made your blood boil anymore?
I think
than
it's
the other?
More just the because
they're all mildly amusing.
Yeah, no, they were great. These were great one-liners. It was just and fuck you.
And fuck you.
You don't just sit there and just take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, those kind of those little things, you know.
And then you got a thumb in the mouth. And
then I got a thumb in the mouth, yeah. That was it. But it's been a lot. That was a long time ago.
Oh,
pretty peaceful
pretty
ever
good.
Since. Oh, my kid kicked me in the face the other day, so.
Oh, that's
that.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that
It was a half accident.
Right.
You know, that was I'm going to kick my foot at daddy.
And, right. Yeah, yeah.
And then he was oh, that actually got his face.
I know that move.
Yeah.
I know that move.
That was
an
interesting
for
move.
Sure. And then it's but mommy, I didn't mean to.
I had to walk away and take a breath after that. I was I'm just
I'm
going to go over here and calm down.
It's jarring.
It's jarring, yeah.
I had an ex who used to get a kick out of scaring me, hiding behind a corner and then jumping out. And you know that sudden, when you get scared, there's that sudden rush of anger that you feel immediately. There's the millisecond of being freaked, and then there's this immediate tidal wave of extreme anger. And you're just fuck you. Why the fuck did you do that? And I never figured that out. Why the fuck did he want to scare me? This was probably goes back to my magician thing.
I think you're good to get out of that situation. You know what I mean? Because scaring leads to
it's weird.
Pushing
right?
leads to hitting and eventually leads to killing. I don't know. It's a bad sign.
I
think if I had someone who was constantly trying to scare me,
I'd
be like, "What is? Why do you want to make me unhappy?"
I dismissed it. I thought it was kind of innocuous, but looking back, I think it's a weird tendency.
It depends on how he's trying to scare you too. Is it jumping out behind walls?
Yeah.
Or forging doctor's documents, being "Oh, you're really sick."
I did something awful when I was first dating Chris, and he got pretty mad at me. Chris doesn't urinate very much during the day, but when he does in the morning, he pees for an extraordinarily long time.
He's like a camel.
Yeah. Yes, it's like it's minutes long. I've had him record it before. I think we got up to like 3 minutes and 42 seconds.
No way.
Oh yeah.
There's no. You're exaggerating.
I'm not. I swear to God,
this,
Sim.
This might be the key to his success.
Shocking.
He does not waste time urinating during the day.
But one time when we were first dating and, you know, we're sleeping, we're spending the night at each other's places or whatever, I woke up and I just like sat right down hard on his bladder. And I was like, good morning. And he was so mad at me. He was like, ah. I was like, yeah, I guess that was a cruel move on my part.
Yeah.
It was a little cruel, yeah, a little right? Cruel. It's a little cruel.
It requires less planning than scaring someone like that. Like,
but
that,
I knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
I knew that it wasn't going to be comfortable for him. Yeah. And also it was a high risk behavior because I could have gotten peed on.
Yeah. I was going to say, did that like unleash a
no, he was sweet enough to hold it. And, but he was a little annoyed with me for a minute. I had to do some.
Has Mary Elizabeth ever done anything that cruel to you? Your wife, by the way, is Mary Elizabeth Ellis.
Yeah.
The brilliant.
Yes,
the
brilliant
and lovely, incredible. I wish she was here right now. She's out for her premiere of Santa Clarita Diet, which
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome.
Is that the new Netflix show with Drew Barrymore and
Timothy Oliphant?
Right.
Fint or Font, I should know that. Nicest guy on the planet. What was the question? Has she ever done any?
Yeah.
No.
She's
you know
nice.
Why? She does not handle it well. If someone did that to her, she would, right. You know, that would really piss her off. So if you can't take it, then you don't dish it.
Yeah, and I can't take it either. So it was really a foolish move on my part.
Yeah, right. Because next thing you know, he's sitting on your bladder.
Right, and then I'm
breaking your rib cage.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. That's true. Well, yeah. Thank you again for being here. We're really excited about your movie, and
it's called Fist Fight.
It's called Fist Fight. February 17th. Oh, right. And I think the country's ready for a really good comedy
and a good old fight.
And a good old fight.
Old fashioned fight.
Do you find, this is a question that's comes from my own experience with my career. I tend to get cast as dimwits and clueless and usually high anxiety people who a lot of times I have to carry the exposition or something like that. And I don't think you have that. I think you have a lot more leeway.
Yeah, it's interesting. Between my guy on Sunny and Horrible Bosses and Fist Fight, maybe even Pacific Rim, like I don't go too far away from what might be familiar to an audience. And that's just in my sort of approach to the material because I like to kind of start from myself and then find truth in that as opposed to saying, all right, I have a limp and an accent.
Right.
You know, but so and I don't know if that's typecasting or...
Well, and everyone has to service each other, you know,
right.
Like everyone has to service the juxtaposition of each other's characters.
You know, it's like, I don't think they ever considered me for the Ice Cube role in Fist Fight. You know what I mean? I think they're always just like, and you will be nervous and jittery.
And have a lot more dialogue.
Yeah, and have all the dialogue. And I'll take any casting I can get, though. That's the thing.
Me too.
It's like, yeah, it's like good to work.
That's not really true, is it?
Well, not anything.
But at this point, I mean, like, what kind of roles do you want to play now? Do you want to continue with, you know, with the track you're on, which is comedy, or do you ever want to expand to drama? Or,
of course. Like, I didn't start out trying to be a comedian, but then Sonny just changed everything, and we've been doing it for so long, it just gets so dug in, and then it led to the film opportunities that are all basically comedic. I don't know. I don't think about it too much. I don't like plot it out. It's kind of step by step. But I just like acting. To me, I'm not even really trying to do a comedy half the time so much as just do the best acting I can do in that moment, in that scene. But the movies are comedic. So then,
truth
of it is funny.
Exactly. Right. Like the sincerity of character. I talk a lot about that because I didn't plan on going, well, I didn't think I would have a career in Hollywood, but I certainly didn't plan on going into comedy. I didn't think anything about me was very funny. And I ended up, you know, doing Scary Movie and then that became, and then now I'm sort of known for comedy. And it, for a while, I was always grateful to have a career, but I resented the idea that I felt like I couldn't even get an audition or considered for more dramatic things. Now I'm really grateful that I'm in comedy because for a number of reasons, I think it's brought me a lot of personal joy. And I think it's incredibly difficult. I enjoy the challenge of it. And I think for, especially for a woman, it leads to more longevity, potentially.
It is more fun to make. When it's working really well, you're cracking each other up on set because, you know, you can't not step out of the character for a moment and see it from the audience's point of view and be amused by it.
I mean, it's
just fun. That can be something I'm saying, or more like certainly when we do Sonny, Glenn Howerton, who plays Dennis Reynolds, I'll get through entire scenes where I can't. I'm so sorry. I can't even. I'm going to have to just bite my tongue and look. I'm looking like at your chin and I'm thinking about something else because I'm just going to laugh because I'm aware of it. And that's a fun way to work.
Yeah.
You know, that's more fun than like, okay, I was trying to think of my kid dying so I could get really sad in this
scene.
Which I don't do, but.
Okay, so I don't know how much you know about our podcast. We do a lot of really idiotic things.
Has Caitlin Olsen told you anything?
She tells me nothing.
She tells you nothing.
No.
She was on a few weeks ago. We just had a great time. Okay, so this is a segment called How Would You Proceed?
All right, here we go.
Okay, I'm going to present a scenario. Yep, good job there. Mm-hmm. There's more where that came from.
Have a sip of that.
Okay, your agent calls you.
All right.
And tells you that Robert De Niro has requested a meeting with you
that
very night at 7:30.
Okay.
Your agent tells you that, you know, Bob was a little vague on the details about the project. But he says, man, you really got to go. When Bobby calls, you got to go.
Right.
So when you arrive, you see that that his house, his beautiful house, his beautiful mansion up on Mulholland, it's kind of crowded. There's quite a few people around.
Okay.
Like maybe around 50 people. But Bobby comes right up to you. He's like, hey, man, thanks so much for coming. So great to meet you. Mm-hmm. We got a lot to talk about. You kind of start to notice at this point that there's some catering tables set up. And you it's dawning on you that he's throwing a dinner party. He's a little shorthanded and asks you if you wouldn't mind carrying a couple of the pokey tuna cones around on a platter just for a while.
I think I'd do it.
All right.
Really?
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, this is so weird. I got to do this. I've got to do this. You know what I mean? And there's another piece of me in the back of my head be like, is this a test?
So you wouldn't question it. You would just say yes right away.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've carried trays of food around before in my life. I could do it again. I mean, I would, you know, in my mind, I'd be like, this is really bizarre. It's not like, you know, I didn't know where you're going with that. But if it was just like, all right, take your pants off and there's a, you know, circle of guys here, like, then I'm out. But if it's just like, yeah, because I might take that poke tuna over to like Harvey Keitel or something and then get into a conversation with him. That'll be interesting. And
Harvey's not there.
Harvey ain't there. It's just his hotel buddies or whoever. I'd still do it.
All right. All right.
Well, let me ask you this. So when you take the trays, are you going to go around and introduce yourself and be like, hey, what's going on? And I'm Charlie Day. Or are you just going to go around like a waiter and not say a word?
I don't think I'm going to say a word.
You're not going to say a word.
No.
If someone recognizes you, then you'll talk.
If someone recognizes me, then I'll just say, I don't know. My agent called me and I'm here serving tuna. And it's as strange to me as it might be to you in this moment. I don't know where this is leading, but I would definitely do it.
Would you push them hard? Would you be like, man, these are really good. You got to try one. Like, let's say, you know what the party is.
No, I wouldn't oversell because, you know, you don't want that guy walking around, you know.
Would you sneak a couple?
Yeah, no, I absolutely, because what's he going to do, fire me? Like, I'm not joking. I would absolutely do it.
All right. I like it.
And it would be so bizarre. And then after it was over, I would go up to him and I would say, so how much are you paying me?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And I think he'd just say, man, this is volunteer work. You know, we're trying to raise money for a new restaurant. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot. You did a great job.
Yes. I had to have the best talk show story.
Yeah, it's true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It'd be 100% worth it. And then if I really realized that at the end of the day, that it was just like, wow, he really just wanted people just like, this is not a test. It's not going anywhere. I'd probably steal something.
What would you steal?
I don't know, like an ashtray or something.
Okay.
Something innocuous.
Like a tchotchke?
Just a little tchotchke. Just a little something to remember the experience.
What if he has like an maybe exact even just the serving replica tray. Of, what was it, Laura's collection of the glass menagerie? I don't know why I thought that from Tennessee, but you know how she has all the glass figuring thing. What am I talking about?
Yeah, the glass menagerie.
Yeah.
You went down a glass menagerie.
Yeah.
Right there.
Okay.
I was with you.
All right. Well, yeah, you're on your way out. You see his glass menagerie collection. Yeah.
You know, you just replace like a little stone with a bottle cap or something.
Yeah.
You know, like a
The stone, the gravel stone you picked up outside.
Okay. That would be so bizarre and amazing if that actually happened.
I would
call my agent and be like, why did he call you? What, like, why not a catering company?
Okay. It's day two. This is, how would you proceed, number two? It's day two and you are filming The Candle Holds a Secret, directed and starring Sylvester Stallone.
Awesome.
Sly says he'd like to read with you, and he calls you into his trailer. You haven't had much interaction with him at this point. You didn't even audition with him.
I'm looking for some Sly time.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you knock on his trailer door. He says, come on in, dude. Welcome aboard, whatever. It's not a trailer. It's one of those like RVs or whatever.
Yeah.
Nobody else is in there. So he closes the door. And then he says, I'm going to need you to take off your pants and bend over.
Okay.
He explains that he's a rumpologist.
A rumpologist.
Which is a skill that he learned from his mother.
He studies the rump.
Yeah. And he wants to do a reading on you because he likes to get a good idea of who he's working with.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, okay, absolutely. Hang on one second. Let me pop back out of the trailer. Are you cool with that? Yeah, go ahead. And then I would go out of the trailer. And I would get to my car.
And leave?
And I would leave.
You wouldn't let Sly look at your ass?
No, because where's that going? See, the catering thing.
Apparently, he really does this. He really...
No, his mom really
does
this. His mom really is a rumpologist. Like, that's not... We're not making that up.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So he might, you know, so he might be an amateur.
He's not going to probe, but he's definitely going to examine.
But he is qualified because his mom is.
Yeah, no, he's a certifiable rumpologist.
Yeah.
I don't think I would let him do that.
Even though The Candle Holds a Secret is like, there's already Oscar buzz on it.
We've already established how I feel about awards. So. Yeah. No, I.
No, you're out of there.
I'm gone. Yeah.
Do you,
I'm
now, do you
gone.
Tell anybody?
I tell everyone.
Yeah. Okay.
I tell.
Okay.
I tell everyone.
Okay.
And I put a stop to this practice, this ridiculous practice of studying rumps.
All right, fair enough.
You let him do it?
I don't think I would. Yeah. God.
Why are you even questioning yourself? Why are you thinking like
there's a chance you would? No, but I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd be able to make that clean of an exit.
He's out of there. Like he said, he got in his car and he left. Like he quit the movie.
Like I think I would hem and haw. Because I know me, and being in a trailer with Sylvester Stallone would be incredibly intimidated. I'd be scared in general, especially if there was no one in there. I would just I would be freaked out. But I don't know if I could just make a clean exit like that. Like I might say something like, you know what, this is really uncomfortable. I'm on my cycle right now. I don't know what I think I would hem and haw about it. Also, I wear granny panties, which
right.
I mean,
you'd be embarrassed he'd see those.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Or I mean, I'd be embarrassed him looking at my asshole.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what a rumpologist does. If they actually examine the asshole.
But that's what we remember when we investigated this yesterday. Apparently, that's they.
So that's what Sylvester Stallone's mom really does.
That's what I heard.
To who?
And what can you
who
tell?
Is like, excuse me. Can you?
What can you tell?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to. It's like reading a palm, right? That's what they're saying. Like that's. It's like.
Yeah, but
I can tell you have uncomfortable time sitting on hard surfaces because there's tons of hemorrhoids in here. let's see. What else can I tell?
Exactly.
I can tell you don't wipe properly. I've learned that. Like, what can you possibly tell?
Right. What can you possibly tell? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that would not be a practice that I would want to go into either.
No rumpologist for you.
No. No, I could
even
care
if
less.
You were desperately needed in Syria.
Wait, okay, so rumpologists, yes. I'm looking at this right now. It says The crack of your behind corresponds to the division of the two hemispheres of the brain, according to a blind German clairvoyant and bumpologist, Ulf Beck.
According to a man who can't see your butt.
Corresponds to like the left and right. I mean, which I don't believe in the left and right brain, but that is that what it's?
Yeah.
Is that supposed to be the correlation?
Like, this is the left and right ass theory.
Okay. And okay, no, so here we go. Jackie Stallone will perform buttock readings using emailed digital photographs and has claimed to predict the outcome of the presidential elections and Oscar awards by reading the bottoms of her two pet Doberman pinschers.
Did she break it to her son beforehand that he wasn't going to win? This...
Wait, there's so much going on with this. She's reading the dog's butts?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't even know where to begin with this.
Doberman pincher. And those are like big dogs.
Aggressive dogs. Yeah. Aggressive.
Right.
Aggressive dogs.
I don't
this
even
know
how
this is all true. I mean, we're not making this up. This is all true.
Oh, come on. This is just Wikipedia.
I mean, it had to Wikipedia. Be. Wikipedia. Who knows? Right.
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
Now, I think that he has gone on record as saying that his mom is a rumpologist. But well, anyway, we'll
okay,
get into
we'll
that
stick
later.
To that like story for now.
I like it.
Until we get him.
I like that it's a thing. Like, I'm really happy it's a thing.
But it's a thing you wouldn't want to do. I mean, have done to you.
No.
Have you ever had your palm read?
Yeah.
And what about like tarot? Like, are you into that kind of thing? Tarot?
No.
Like,
I'm pretty cynical.
Me too.
I feel like, I like to say I feel like I have a very healthy sense of causality.
Yeah, I like that.
Because I think like the odds are you're going to get one of these things. And also, by the way, I'm also like all the explanations could mean anything.
I've talked about this on the podcast before that when I was going through my really angry college phase, which lasted for a long time, high school, college, middle school, high school, anyway, for a very long time, that I would do like this party trick where I would have people draw a card from a deck of cards and it would be like whatever, you know, eight of spades. And I would say, you're a really creative person. There are things though that are like the obstacles that you've put up for yourself that are preventing you from achieving your dream. I know that you have some issues with your parents. I want to say your mom. And people would be, you know, they want to hear what they want to hear. And I would I was just pulling shit out of my, I mean, who isn't creative? Who doesn't have obstacles in their way?
Absolutely. You're feeling a lot of happiness at times, but also there's the potential for sadness.
Right.
Somewhere in there lies the truth for you.
Yeah.
You have to work on your connections with other people, but not not so much that you only spend time.
You're an individual.
But you like to be alone.
Right. Yeah, but having said all that, I'm not into astrology. I don't really believe in it and stuff, but I do sometimes think it's fun to like, I don't know.
Oh, I think it's fun. And by the way, if you like find like sort of peace through it or you find your own happiness, then who's to say that like for you, that's not the working sort of methodology of how to deal with your stuff.
I do remember though, moving to LA, it being jarring to me from Seattle, which is like, I feel like the birthplace of a lot of cynicism, that it was jarring to me how many people seem to be finding solutions in everything, in any new fad. I've got this figured out now because now I do this.
There's a lot of that out here.
Yeah. And I remember that being kind of like jarring that every few months somebody had a new answer to like that a key to happiness or something.
I think a little bit of healthy cynicism is good there.
Yeah.
But maybe not so much so that you don't try any new stuff.
Yeah, it's true. That's the trap I fell into. I don't try anything new. So I don't know. And it hasn't really helped me.
No, me neither. Yeah. But I know I wouldn't let Stallone look at my ass.
Okay. So now it's Thursday. You're shooting It's Always Sunny. Do you start on Mondays, I assume?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's Thursday. It's lunch break, right? You're in your trailer or dressing room. What do you have? A trailer?
Depends on if we're on location.
Okay, you're on location.
Okay, we're on location. Oh. I'm in the trailer.
I kind of want you in a trailer, but for this scenario.
I'm in a trailer.
Okay, for this scenario, you just have to imagine that the bar is on location, which I'm sure it's not.
It works.
Okay.
We can work it out.
Okay. So you're eating lunch.
Mm-hmm.
There's a knock on your trailer door. There's a cute brunette standing there smiling at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be her.
Okay.
Hey.
Am I single? Is this a long word?
No,
imagining
this is
things?
You.
Okay, this is me.
This is you. This is you.
Changes.
We're gonna get to some single.
Yeah, we will get to that in a
second.
Though.
We'll get to some single stuff
okay.
in a second.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Charlie.
Hi. Hey.
Hey, I'm Tash.
Oh right. Yeah. Good to see,
yeah,
see you. Or
yeah.
I...
Yeah. I'm bar patron number 3.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're doing
but
a
I just
great job.
Thank
by the
you.
Way.
Well, we yeah. haven't. I know we haven't actually rehearsed or done the scene yet.
Yes.
But I was just telling. One of the producers that I think I should have a name. I'm thinking like Raquel. I know it's your lunch, mm-hmm. but I was just hoping that maybe you could like give me some advice on my line or we could like maybe run my line together or something like that.
Okay. I'm sorry. Which line is it?
My line is whiskey diet, please. But I had some thoughts because I just want to like really be present in
of
the
course.
Scene,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So do you mind if I come in really quickly?
Oh yeah. No. Okay.
It's cool. It's cool. It's cool. If you, it's like,
yeah.
I don't want to like take too much of your time. But okay. So here's what I was thinking.
Okay.
So I know you say something like, can I get you another, or like, or like, what
yeah.
do you, what
do you want another beer?
Yeah. A whiskey diet is Raquel's drink.
Right. Okay.
So
I gotta check that script because I think you added that, but
it's scripted whiskey diet, please.
Uh huh.
But I'm thinking I should say something like, I think I'll partake in another whiskey diet with a slice of lime, and then I'll kind of like do something seductive. They put me in, I think my wardrobe is something really gross,
uh-huh.
but I brought yeah. my own.
Okay.
So, and then I'm going to kind of like bend over and sort of like show you my tits.
Great.
And I'm just wondering, because I feel like my character could expand into more of like a regular, like, because
uh-huh.
I feel
tricky.
Like Raquel just
like
moved into
stuff.
The area.
Right.
And so she's going to be at the bar a lot.
Yeah,
and,
it's you never know, you know. Okay.
All
right. Well, I'll tell you what. So, like, if you have a different wardrobe thing that you want to do, see,
well,
if
is
you
it
see
okay?
That truck
if it's
down
just
there,
under my coat. Uh-huh. I mean, because I feel like you're kind of in charge here. You know, I know that
yeah.
other people say they are, but I feel like you really are. Like,
right.
you really have like this.
I got a lot of stuff.
Yeah. yeah. So then I'm thinking. So I'm gonna lean down, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And I think you should look at me, and you should be like, "Oh man, what a rack!" And I'll be like, "Oh my god, I didn't mean to expose that much of me."
All right, that's a great idea. I'll tell you what, we can try one that way, and we'll get one the scripted way, and then we'll try one your way.
That's so cool. You guys are so open to that. Because
yeah.
I was told earlier that I shouldn't really
add
fine. A lot.
We tried things different ways.
Okay.
You know what, though? I have a couple phone calls I need to make. And the,
okay,
and
just
the lunch break is getting over.
Oh, okay.
Really,
I know. What are you eating for lunch?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What are you eating?
All the
are
catering.
You on like a special
did
diet?
Did you see the truck down there? The catering
I
truck
did,
down there?
But I am on a crazy diet myself.
Wow. I'm sure.
But what do you eat for lunch?
Just
because you look really good.
Oh, man. Thanks
this
so much.
This show is so funny.
Oh, thank
I'm
you.
I'm so, like, I have to tell you, like, this is
make
my
that phone
dream.
Call.
Who are you calling?
I am calling.
Do you have an agent? Because I need
my
to change
wife.
My...
I'm,
oh, your yeah. wife is so sweet.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Yeah,
that's so sweet. How long have you guys been married?
A long time. I got to go. Good to see
oh
you.
Oh my God. But wait.
Uh-huh.
Wait, just one last question. Okay. So when we do get on stage.
Wait. Do you want to come in the trailer and have sex?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. I wasn't picking up on any of those signals. Yeah. Let's
oh
just
God.
Get this done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's going to be the only,
yeah.
only way to get you to stop talking.
Oh my God. Yeah. No. I love to talk during sex.
All right. Then never mind. I got to go.
Oh.
And then I lock the door.
Has that ever happened to you? Anything
no,
like that?
No.
Not
thank
even
God.
Close? No.
Thank God.
Extras or do they ever come up to you and they
people
what
are
happens?
Flirty or smiley, but people always, and I am not like, I run. From like a, you know, every now and then you're like, all right, that girl's looking for some attention, but not that. That was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Tash is a little
crazy.
We've
Tash
used it before
crazy.
A couple
yeah,
times.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a little crazy.
She's a little too crazy to sleep with. Yeah.
But you were very kind. Some of our guests.
No, that's my problem. Is like
some of our guests have like shut her down.
I
think he shut you down.
You did.
I did, but it took some time. But like. That's my problem too, because people see the weakness in me, and they'll be like, "Oh, he'll talk to me," and I will. Like, you know, like I won't just be.
I'm the same way.
And then there comes a point in time where you're like, "Oh, I cannot be talking to this person. It's got to stop."
Then there's like the like, "Hey, we should exchange numbers."
Oh yeah.
And I'm the kind of person who's like, "Here's my number."
I've done that a few times where I just regretted it.
Yeah.
You get text messages afterwards.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just don't respond.
Yeah, me too.
Hopefully they'll think they wrote it down.
What do you think? 5 minute break.
Calls? Okay. You guys are in a working actor relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing because you both understand each other's like dreams and goals.
Yeah.
And you understand the sacrifice that it has. But, I mean, I know how hard it is to, like, manage long-distance relationships and,
yeah,
like, all the other stuff.
We just make an effort to make sure that the kid and the relationship is more important than the other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so this last job, the reason we all came together was because it just timed out where she was off for a little bit, and it was like, all right, well then we'll do it. We'll all go together, you know, and we'll do it. And that happened. Mary Elizabeth did a movie called Masterminds, which got like kind of buried because Relativity went under, but it was like,
it was Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, Galifianakis and Wig, and yeah, it was a funny movie. And that just happened. Like she got that when I'd finished Sunny, so I went, you know. And
oh, that's great.
Yeah, and which I loved, which is great, like the greatest. So try to do that. Try to work in town as much as I can.
Yeah.
And
that's what's nice about the shows.
That's what's great about the shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big part of the reason why I keep doing it, which is like,
yeah,
I'm here. I get to see my kid.
Yeah.
I get to go be funny, and I get to. You know, the people still love the show, and then nobody gets hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like right now, I'm about to have to leave again. Then I have to go to China to finish the movie. And I'm real worried about leaving the kiddo, you know?
Yeah.
My wife, she can handle it.
Yeah.
We can handle it.
Yeah. Because they're at that age, at least Jack is at that age now where when he was younger, it was easier. It was harder to travel with him, but it was easier because he wasn't fully aware of the idea, because Chris and Jack are really, really close, and he wasn't fully aware of the idea of him being gone, but now he is.
Yeah, that's, I'm going through that too. We have there's a daddy and son thing. And
yeah.
And it's tough. I even feel like today, you know, and like he was passed out in the car, and I carried him in, put him in his bed, and he woke up, and he's like, oh, I'm home. And then we ran around for like 5 minutes, and I had to go do a press thing and another press thing.
Yeah.
I feel bad. It's like, oh, you're back in your home, and
yeah,
I'm gone.
I know.
But whatever. That's
yeah.
He'll live.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or he won't. And that's life.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thought for the day.
Right.
Okay. So, Sam,
yeah, we're ready to call some people. Yeah. We're going to call Shelby first. And Shelby is, where is she? Oh, she's in L.A. She's here in L.A. And she's 25.
Hello?
Hey, Shelby.
Hi.
Hi, it's Sim. And I'm going to introduce you to Anna right now.
Hi, Shelby.
Anna! Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
And we're here with Charlie Day.
Hi, Shelby.
Oh, my gosh. Charlie Day, hi.
How you doing?
He's, of course, known for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and he's got a new movie coming out February 17th called Fist Fight that's mm-hmm. hysterical.
With Ice Cube.
Mm-hmm. With Ice Cube.
Mm-hmm. So you should go.
But thank you for submitting a question, and thanks for being on our podcast. And I don't know what your what the deal, because I'm always kept in the dark, which is sort of by choice, so Charlie doesn't feel alone.
Yeah, I know nothing. Mm-hmm.
So Shelby, tell us about this predicament that you're in right now.
So a couple months ago, I was working on set of this really low budget TV show as a stand-in, where I met this guy who was part of the crew, and he was a head of the grip department. And we hit it off right away, and he really liked me. We hung out on set all the time. He would buy me lunch. Every time I was on a break, you know, he'd hang out with me, and he would ask me out. And he wasn't really my type, but he was just so persistent in asking me out that I just kind of said yes. And this had been going on for about a month. So we make a date for the weekend, and then a couple of days before our date, I decided to look him up on Instagram because I never even thought to do that. I go on his Instagram, and I notice something weird about his pictures, and I see that he's married with three kids, and his wife is pregnant with their fourth child.
Oh, boy.
And I was just really confused and upset because we seemed really close, and he was just so excited about our date. And I thought, like, did I misread this? Like, was this like weird flirting? So when I go back to work the next day, I ask one of the other crew members who worked under him, who also became kind of my friend. I was like, hey, did you know that he was married? And he's like, yeah, he told us not to tell you because he really wants to sleep with you and didn't want like his chances being ruined of that happening. And I was like, oh my God. But I didn't want to rat my friend out for saying that because that's kind of his boss. And I didn't want to make work weird. You know, I canceled our date saying I was just busy. And for the whole rest of the next month, he kept asking me out, and he was getting more and more upset about it that I wasn't giving him an answer. And I finally just said, you know, I don't think it's a good idea because you're married. And he got really quiet, and he just said, oh yeah, you heard about that, huh? We're probably going to get a divorce soon.
Oh God.
We've been out of love for so long.
Oh like, my God.
So spoiled. Yeah. Just, oh, gross. And I was like, oh, you know, that's a shame that you're so unhappy in your marriage. And he was just like, yeah, but just because I'm married doesn't mean that we can't, you know, be together or do stuff. Still, I was making a joke out of it. Like, no, I can't date a married person. I'm sorry. Work ended and we went our separate ways. And I thought that was the end of it. But then he kept texting me. And it was like, hey, are you still single? Do you want to go out sometime? And I would still, you know, answer no.
Funny that he was asking you if you're single.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
He's like, I don't want to date anyone married.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what really got me, which is why I sent in my question, was during Christmas time, he sent, you know, a Merry Christmas text to me. And then again, he said, hey, are you seeing anyone? Do you want to go out for that date again? I said no. And I went on his wife's Instagram page and I saw that she, you know, took a Christmas photo with her family and he was sitting right there with her. And he probably sent that text to me that same time. And she's pregnant, like she's still pregnant now. And I just feel this really strong need to tell her that I don't know what to do. So I was wondering if you could give me advice.
This is a tough one. I know, Anna. This is a really tough one.
This is a really tough one.
I feel like
one.
I have a clear thinking on this.
Yeah,
really?
Good.
All right, here? Charlie?
Here's what I would do. I would say, I would tell this lovely man, seems like a real winner. If I were you, I would say, look, if you ask me on a date one more time, I'm going to tell your wife. And mm-hmm. then you're off the hook. But I wouldn't get in the middle of all that.
Yeah, I wouldn't get in the middle of it either. And I think you can say, I'm hesitant about the threat. I think that it could be simpler than that. I live my life to a different moral code. And I don't appreciate you texting me and asking me out when you're married. And I don't know.
I knew you were going to say that, Anna. And you know, Shelby and I talked the other day, and Shelby, tell us about your dad and why you feel so strongly about potentially confronting the woman.
I didn't really want to go out with this guy because he really just reminded me of like a younger version of my dad. And my dad had cheated on my mom a couple years ago. And there's like a lot of parallels with this relationship. Like my dad is born on the same day as this guy. He has four daughters. I'm the oldest of four girls. And they both work in film production. And my dad had cheated before, but never told my mom. He just revealed that to her later. And it's just, my mom really wishes that someone would have told her a long time ago that this was going on. And I just feel like it's like a sign from Shelby, the universe.
This is too perfect. This is not your place.
If you were closer to the family, potentially.
Okay, a couple things here. I feel like I gotta protect you.
Yeah.
Like, okay, first of all, look, this woman's, if she's pregnant, and that's an incredible amount of stress on a woman, and like, you would be doing her a great disservice of putting her through this right now. And since this man has not slept with you, and he's only been a creep, and he hasn't crossed that line.
Or you haven't crossed that line.
Secondly, look, people are nuts, and like, you could get shot. Like, this woman could be like, yeah, no, I'm so serious. Like, this woman could be like,
the messenger is it's a bad place to be.
Yeah. You might think you're helping her, and she might be like, F you, crazy bitch, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Yeah.
So I would keep this between you and the guy.
But I would just simply say, please don't text me anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I think you just have to stop that.
But like, without being anything, without saying anything dramatic or get, like, I think it just can be as simple as, please don't text me anymore. Because also,
I have.
Yeah. I think
he slowed down, but still, every once in a while, I'll be like, hey, you know, how are you?
I think, and then maybe you say like, please don't make me send this text again. But I can't have you texting me anymore. Because you know what? As soon as she suspects something, if she doesn't already, because you're not the first, you won't be the last, she's going to go through his phone. You're going to get a weird phone call in the middle of the night. Like, what? Who the fuck are you?
Oh, God.
And
yeah, don't open this can of worms.
Yeah, I think that you have to just reiterate. Like, for my own personal hassle, I don't want to have to change your number. But if you text me again, that's what I'm going to have to do.
Yeah.
And because, you know, in our, especially in our industry, I mean, we see it all the time, like, because of the long hours and like, there's a lot of infidelity in our industry, in everywhere, but in our industry a lot, because mostly because of the long hours and because it's it can be very insulating work. You kind of feel like everyone's overworked and exhausted and exposed to new people, especially young, attractive people. So I guarantee that you're not the only one and you won't be the last. But it, like Charlie said, out of protection for yourself.
Yeah, because you haven't done anything wrong here. Like,
no,
this guy is just creeping on
you.
You
did exactly the right thing.
Right? And so you're not even involved in their whole
And don't feel guilty about checking out the Instagram page. That's not stalking. That's
yeah, what? I mean, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. And
that's doing your homework.
And I would even be a little careful of this friend who is like, you know, I didn't want to tell you because he wanted to fuck you. What kind of friend is that?
Don't answer text, say something like, just don't do this to me anymore.
Yeah.
Just, you're 25, you got a wonderful life to live. Don't get caught in someone else's weird crap. Just,
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know what? The sad thing is, she's probably going to find out from somebody else with somebody else. You know what I mean? Down the road.
Yeah. Hopefully.
And look, he's not your father.
Yeah.
He's just some creep.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you need to work on that stuff, you should talk to some, you know, not some actors, yeah. you know, like, talk to someone and work that out. And, you know, so you don't carry that into your future relationship.
But I totally understand your desire for her to know, but I just think you're going to be the villain in this. And it will, like Charlie said, especially, you know, if she's pregnant, it's going to be incredibly stressful for her. And I do think that if he continues this behavior, it's gonna come out in the wash, and it'll be horrible for her, and you know, and potentially horrible for him. But yeah, he's a creep. But I gotta hand it to you for not like caving into any kind of temptation, because people do, and good for you for not.
Yeah,
and
good for you.
I think you were really strong about this. But yeah, I think it's only disastrous for you without, like I said earlier, like it would be really different if you were really close with the family, with her and him, then that's a whole different conversation. And I don't know what the right answer for that would be either. But for you, not knowing her and everything, And because, you know, she could very well draw her own conclusions like, oh, so you did fuck my husband. You know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
I mean, it could be potentially dangerous.
Yeah.
And look, at the end of the day, all we have is our ability to kind of look in the mirror and look at ourselves and either say, I'm happy with who I am. I'm not out there. I don't hurt anyone. I'm not hurting people. Or if I have, I have remorse for it or whatever it is. And right now you're in a good place here.
And what an idiot to think that you know, wouldn't like go on his Insta.
What was he thinking?
But you know what? And not just her.
I don't know.
You could bring on his rage and you got to work with this guy. Mm-hmm. So like all of a sudden he's not allowed to see his children anymore. He's looking at you like that's your fault, although it's not your fault. So just
luckily you don't have
to just run away.
Yeah. Just get away.
But I would definitely say, please don't text me anymore.
The next time that he texts her, she should immediately write, don't text me anymore.
Yeah. And then if he does again, say, I really don't want to have to change my phone number out of my out of my own personal convenience. That's a big hassle for me. But if you continue to text me, I'm going to have to. And please don't make me do that. Don't text me again.
And the next time a guy's hitting on you that you think is not your type, go with your instincts, because I think you have good instincts.
I know.
You might have been picking up on the fact that he was
Because then at least, but just to go back to the texting, at least then there's a text trail that you've left if his wife does go through his phone.
Yeah.
Good point. Right. Very good point.
And you have like a solid argument, like I didn't do anything. And if it ever comes to a dramatic place, but you can clear yourself of and be very much the innocent party member, as opposed to saying Merry Christmas to you too, Happy New Year, you know, whatever. Don't do any of that, of course. This guy's a creep and he's going to be creeping for a long time.
Yeah, go find a nice guy.
They're a little hard to find in LA, but they are out
there. No, they're out there.
Hey, Shelby, this advice seems pretty obvious. Are you good with this?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
And I love it that you kind of already knew what to do. And I'm sorry that stuff happened with your dad.
Yeah.
But this woman will probably find out and it's going to be horrible. But I don't think it should come from you.
Or you know what? Maybe she'll come close to finding out and maybe something will freak him out and he'll stop. And they'll work it out and the kids will be happy and the family will be tighter.
Yeah.
But that's not your job.
Yeah.
Just don't put yourself in the middle of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess also to the larger picture, be careful on film sets for predators.
Yeah.
Because
there's some creeps out there.
Yeah. Don't you think especially on film sets? Yeah. I think so. It's an environment where there's a lot of dudes. And, you know, in the actress capacity, you can be easy targets. And so just, you know, keep your eye out for that. They all, you know.
Yeah. And the fact that this guy's not getting hit, like no means no. And you've already told him no. Like this is a bad dude. I don't like this guy.
Yeah.
I don't like this dude.
Shelby, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Man, poor Shelby.
Yeah. I know, but I'm.
But she really, you know, when I talked to her on the phone, she really felt like she wanted to tell.
Of course, because
that's why I wanted her on the. Because I knew, especially Anna, I knew what you were going to say, so she needed to hear it. Because I agree with you completely.
But you know, a 25-year-old girl who doesn't have kids and has never been married.
Yep.
You don't like. You can't really understand the weight of all that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be breaking that stuff up, especially like. Maybe you can be breaking it up if you guys, like, if you're pregnant with his baby and it's a whole fucking thing.
And I'm telling you, like, she's going to look through his phone. And that's why she has to guard herself.
But she's been turning him down the whole time. Like,
no, I know, but in a very, like, no, like.
No, no, I'm saying, why would she ever, she just shouldn't, you know.
Yeah, right. But no, you know what I'm saying? No even care. I don't know if she got into, yeah.
Yeah.
No casual, like, Happy New Year.
Nope, things. Nothing. Yeah. Nothing at all.
Yeah.
Done. All right, so we have one more call, and we're going to call Katie right now. She's in Seattle, Anna.
Hometown girl.
And she's 27.
Hello.
Hey, Katie. It's Sim.
Hi, Sim.
Anna, say hi to Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Great, and how are you guys?
Good. You're here with Charlie Day.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Charlie.
How are you?
I'm super excited for this call.
Thank you so much for submitting a question and for agreeing to be on this insane podcast. But you're up in Seattle. Is it rainy?
I am. It's actually, it was a beautiful, clear day in Seattle. It was gorgeous. One of those days where you just want to be outside, but it's been great up here. Not the typical drizzle.
Oh, that's nice. There's nothing like a beautiful day in Seattle. It's magical. Have you spent any time up there?
I have spent time in Seattle. I love Seattle. It's a beautiful
city. It's a great city.
Katie, tell us about this guy you met on the Bumble dating app. Charlie, are you familiar with Bumble?
No, I am not.
Well, you know,
got on Instagram.
You know what
I'm
Tinder
so
is,
not,
right?
Like, I do know what Tinder is.
But on Bumble, the women have all the control. So if you match up with a woman, the woman gets to make the first move, and she gets to decide whether or not she wants to text the guy.
Cool.
Yep, that's all
cool.
You need to know. Anyways, she met this guy on Bumble, and tell us about this guy and what's going on.
Okay, so I met this guy on Bumble. We started chatting at like the end of November. We've been dating for a couple months now. He was actually out of town for most of January, which he told me in December.
For work?
For traveling for fun.
Oh,
like
okay.
Like skiing and traveling and having a great time.
That sounds like a Seattle guy.
Yeah. He's like a badass outdoor Seattle guy, which I love.
Yeah, I do too.
Before he left, he asked me, will you be dating anyone when I'm gone? And I told him like, hey, I deleted my profile. Which at the time I thought I had, but I'm an idiot. And 2 weeks later I realized I hadn't. And so I deleted it then. And I assumed he would follow suit. There were lots of signs that we were exclusive. And it was very implied. But last weekend I was super bored and I actually like re-downloaded Bumble just for like 10 minutes to swipe left on everyone. And then I was just going to delete it. It was just like a boring thing to do, but his profile popped up. And it showed that he was active recently when I dropped him off at SeaTac, which kind of hurt because...
Yeah, first of all, you gave him a ride to the airport. That's really nice.
Yeah. So now I kind of want to talk to him about it because, like, he showed me where his spare key is. He talks about future plans. It seems very much like we're exclusive, but he's obviously been using a dating app. And I'm hoping you can help me come up with a way to talk about it where I don't sound like I'm crazy for... being on that app and creeping myself because I wasn't intending to, but...
How long have you guys been dating? I'm sorry.
About 2 months.
Oh, 2 months.
And he was gone for part of that time.
Yeah, he's been gone about half the time. We've been on like a total of 11 dates.
And then he came back and now he's gone again because you dropped him off at SeaTac.
Yes.
Off once again sort of doing his mountain climbing whatever business.
He actually got back Monday. He was gone, but he got back on Monday. So I saw him Monday, and I didn't bring it up then because it was like his first day back. But and everything went well.
You're worried that his app is still open, and then he's continuing to swipe.
Yes, correct.
But you're also worried about how to bring that up to him because you...
don't want to seem like,
you don't,
where
right,
are we?
Right. You don't want to like seem like you're pressuring him, but you're also worried about it because you don't want him to say, well, why did you start yours again?
Well, she has a valid excuse, yeah. Though. I think she can be... I mean, listen, I've noticed a few things in, like, especially with younger dating, especially with internet dating. Do people call it that? I don't know.
Yeah, online dating.
Online dating.
I mean, apps, I guess, are considered online.
But part of the trend I've noticed, like, especially with doing the podcast, is this big trend of not defining what a relationship is. And, like, sort of this, and I don't know if whether it comes from a desire to leave doors open or if it comes from like being scared of being really honest or if it comes from a place of like a person, usually a dude, not to gender stereotype, but being like, well, why do we have to define anything? So they can, you know, whatever, do their thing. And from a women's perspective, oftentimes it's like, well, I don't want to come across as clingy or that, you know, I'm pressuring him to be in a relationship or to be exclusive when maybe he's not ready. Will that drive him away? That's sort of some of the stuff that we've noticed, I think, doing the podcast. But I think in your case, do you think his action was retaliatory? Or do you think
Well,
it
he
was...
wouldn't know. He wouldn't know that she had the app.
Oh,
up.
She wouldn't. He wouldn't know.
She went on for fun for, right?
No. But before, she said, are you still going to be on Bumble? Are you going to delete your profile?
Right,
and
right.
She said
exactly.
Yes, but then she didn't for a couple weeks.
Right. Right. She forgot so
did,
to.
Right. So did he, can he know, he knows that.
He would know that. So maybe he saw you, that you were, maybe he saw that you were still on the app.
Was it a retaliatory thing that he, if he's like, well, if she's not going to delete it, then I'm not going
to
delete mine.
And maybe he just kind of kept it inside and decided right. not to bring it up, that why are you still right. on the app?
Or exactly.
I mean, I would be a little forgiving with each other at this
point.
I
think so
too. You're super young. You've only been dating 2 months.
But I would like, be honest.
I would definitely be honest. To go on an app for fun where you look at people who are potential dates is an interesting and telling thing, but that's, it's okay. Like, I've been with my wife for 15 years. I look and I'm attracted to women all the time. That's all right. That's a human thing. But you just got to be honest. Like, if you really want to have a real relationship with him, and if you're someone who wants to be in a long relationship, then honesty is all you're ever going to have.
Yeah.
But how does she bring it up though? Because she's going to say that I was still on the app, and then she's going to have to say that.
That's okay. Then be honest. Just be like, look, I got on there. I don't know why. I just did. I had the urge to. And I saw you on there. And can we talk about it?
Yeah. I think that's exactly right. I think what Charlie said is exactly right. Like I was bored. And truthfully, you know, it kind of, and I saw your profile was still up, and I just want to talk about, would you like us to be exclusive? What are your feelings? Do you want to go out on other dates? I would like to know. I'm not going to judge you either way. I just, you know, I want to know kind of where we're standing right now.
Yeah, it's scary right? to be your most honest self.
It is.
But, you know, even if sometimes your most honest self is like, hey, I don't know. I was kind of thinking about other guys and I went on this, but I like you the most, you know, like.
But it's a way of her also protecting herself too, because she's going to always be wondering, if they continue to see each other, well, is he still going out with other people? And do I not know? And when I think it feels like we're exclusive at this point, but maybe we're not. Like, if he's a normal person, he's not going to overreact to this, and he's going to answer this very rationally and with a lot of reason. If he's an abnormal person, then that's a red flag.
Your ability to communicate is really all you have in a relationship.
Yeah.
And if you're the type of people that can have this happen and talk through it and both kind of grow from it, like, this is a good guy, you know?
Yeah.
And if you guys can't communicate through a situation like this, then you probably never will learn.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think you have to necessarily, you know, be as direct as saying, are we boyfriend and girlfriend?
But does she call him out on the app? Does she do that?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, because I think Charlie's right. That's
not going to freak him out at all?
Well,
then screw him.
Okay. Yeah. So you're saying that because she was on the app too, obviously.
Listen, and he can
easily go back to her and say, well, you were on it as well.
Then fair enough. And then let's talk about it.
But also, listen, they're young in the relationship, but this guy is doing his own thing, right? Like, he's doing his thing. He's traveling. He's doing his adventures. And so she needs to have some degree of control of her being able to do her own thing. And if he doesn't understand that and expects her to, like, wait or around or while he does his life journeys and whatever he wants to do, it's putting you on hold while he has kind of his own sort of freewheeling agenda. And he might be the most awesome guy in the world, and he you know, he might be totally over the moon about you, and he just wants to do some traveling and shit like that. But I think that conversation needs to be had, and if he's a confident, rational person, I think he'll be able to completely have that with you.
The biggest red flag for me is when he said that, when he asked you if you're still on the app, and then yet he continues to be on the app.
Right, but you don't think he removed him? I don't know.
No, he was still on the app.
Yeah, that is weird. You're
that's
right.
Weird.
Yeah.
So that's a huge red flag right there. So I don't know if you know. I mean, you guys are giving him a lot of credit, I feel.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
maybe.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So wait, hang on. He asked you, "Are you still on the app?"
You have to walk us through this because we don't know what we have.
Walk the old people through it.
So before he left, he was like, "Are you still going to be bumbling when I'm gone?" And I was like, actually, I deleted my profile. And then he replied, well, he like joked, like the moderators kicked me off because I posted a bunch of dick pics, which was a great joke and a great way of like deflecting the conversation so he didn't have to reciprocate. And I just kind of assumed once I deleted mine, he would follow suit. And I felt bad, like, when I realized a couple weeks later I hadn't, but...
Right? Well, but does it make sense now?
Yes,
you're talking social media etiquette and all this, and like, you can't ever find anything out about a person without just talking to them.
That's
right?
True. Yeah.
Like, I mean,
and you can just say, do you want to date other people?
Yeah. You said you didn't realize you didn't delete your app. Does he like, maybe he doesn't know that he didn't delete his app.
So yeah, I think you can say it in like, you don't have to say it in an accusatory tone because we don't know enough about this guy to know if he's a dick or not. But I think you can say like, yeah, like, so are you continuing to date online? Because I want to know, because if so, I want to leave those options open for myself as well.
You know, now being 40 years old and, like, looking back on my life, if there's anything that I could have done differently in any kind of relationship or certainly when I was younger, I think I would have just been more courageous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think
me too. It's so easy for us to say it in hindsight. Yeah.
So I'm very sympathetic to being, first of all, the two first months of any dating thing are the most intense and romantic. And you know, it's all the emotions are raw. But if there is some courage in you and someone, and if you believe in yourself and your ability to either be loved by this man or find someone else who will love you in the way that you want to be loved, then I would trust that courage and I would just be honest with the guy and just say, look, I saw this. This is how I feel.
Yeah.
Tell me how you feel and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in your gut, do you feel like he's not ready to, because to me, he sounds like he's just the traveling stuff alone that's not about work seems to me like he's not ready to make a commitment. I don't know if I'm right about that. What does your gut say?
No, he says he like just takes a big vacation every January. And like right after he met me, he's like, I feel bad that I'm going on this big trip right after I met an amazing girl. And we spend a lot of time together.
Yeah. Well, then all the more reason to kindly be honest.
I bet he really likes you, but I bet he's not totally ready to get married to you. Like, you know, it's that thing where it's like, how old is this guy?
He's 35. I'm 27.
Oh, fuck this guy.
That does actually put a different twist on it.
This does change things a little bit, doesn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, yeah. Totally I was does. Thinking like two young 27-year-olds.
Right, that's what I was thinking too. I had no idea.
I mean, they're
I just take a vacation every January. What kind of, what the fuck? I want to take a vacation every fucking January.
Yeah, get a job, you bum.
Yeah, fucking get off Bumble, you
dick. You've taken so many turns on this call.
I know,
but I'm just kidding. Like, he can still be a great guy.
Can I ask you, without you having to reveal too much, what he does for a living?
Oh, yeah. He works in, like, the medical field. So I think he like, took some paid time off and some paid vacation.
Okay. All right. So he has a lot of stability in his job. It's not like he's working at REI teaching kids how to rock climb the rock climb wall. That's what I was imagining.
He's like an outdoor badass, but not a ski bum, which is really hard to find. I like that.
Just you got to believe in yourself.
But you know, the good news about him being 35 is that hopefully he's mature enough to hear this conversation.
And to
respond in like a mature enough way, whether that's the news you want to hear or the news you don't want to hear, you definitely need an answer to this. Otherwise, it is going to be nagging at you all the time. And hopefully you won't do something stupid like I would have done at your age, which is just like get wasted and be like, I'm going to fuck somebody if you don't call me back right now, which I never did because I never had the courage. But I would just – but you know what I'm saying? Like I don't think I was capable of like rational, honest conversation.
Like, it's not easy to do. It takes real balls. But like wouldn't you say that all your arguments, even your arguments to this day, are usually about – the way in which you're communicating with one another, you're assuming that someone feels one way or did something with a, you know, like that Chris had a certain intention by something he said or something he did. And then you guys, you know, you'll argue over something and then you'll kind of talk it out and be like, oh, okay, actually you meant this. I'm feeling that. It's those miscommunications that are.
Yes.
You know,
and I tend to harbor, like I'll hold things in for a long time.
Right.
And
then let it build up because you just haven't talked about it.
And then it turns out it's something innocuous.
Exactly. It's either one or the other. You if you have the courage to just be honest with this guy, then you guys are going to talk through it and it's going to be all good. And hey, maybe you found the great non-ski bum adventurer guy who can talk through stuff. But whether a guy's an adventurer or not, whether he's a tall, strapping, handsome man or just a small, little, beautiful man like myself, it's all about communication. You know what I mean? It's just like it's just about whether or not people can talk to each other.
And if he says, you know, I've still been on Bumble, I think then maybe you can say, and I don't know if you guys would agree with me on this. I'm a little curious because when we had a conversation about it earlier, it felt like maybe I misinterpreted you, but it felt like you were kind of asking me to potentially get off of Bumble.
That's fair.
So I just want to know, what is this then? You know, like,
right.
I don't know. Maybe he'd be like, and I thought you were going to. And then a week later, I saw you were still on. Yeah.
And
then
you
could
explain yourself like, you know what? I forgot. And then you were, you know, gone. And I feel guilty. But you know, out of boredom, I checked back in. And then I saw that you were still on it. And it made me feel really confused.
I think confusion is the best way to go.
Yeah. Because you are confused.
You are confused. That's the honest truth. You're
just
confused.
Just be honest.
Yeah, I'm confused about this, and but will you let us know how it goes? I feel like a lot of our listeners are gonna be curious about this. Let's find out if he's a good guy or an asshole.
Yeah, let's find out. Let's find out.
But
we'll know for sure.
Yeah, and don't be scared, because I think that it'll definitely be revealing how he deals with this, and you'll get an answer one way or the other, just simply by his response. Whether or not, if he overreacts, that means something. But if he's rational and has, you know, a decent explanation, even if it is like, you know what, I do kind of think I want to, you know, date other people as well. How do you feel about that? And you can say, well, I'm okay with it, or I'm not okay with it, you know, or give me some time to think about it. I like you and I enjoy spending time with you. You know what I mean? Like,
but she'll know.
At least you'll know. At least you'll know, like from his response, what kind of temperament he has. So that'll be good. But yeah, Katie, it's hard. It's hard to be honest. But I think once you start doing it, it'll come easier and easier and easier.
Yeah, and the better you get at it.
Yeah, and it shows a lot of confidence in you.
Yeah, the better you'll be in. Let's say this it doesn't work out and it crumbles apart, but you've learned about yourself a lot, and you can bring that into the next thing, and you will be loved. People are going to love you.
Yeah,
you're
going
to be okay.
And as women, we're constantly worried about being needy and overbearing, because there's so many movies and or whatever about like, well, you better put a ring on it, or like get a ring, or like, where's it going, where are you headed, and those are important questions. Those are questions that I like to know too. Like, I want to know where I'm going. I want to know if I just want to know the parameters, and that's very valid. But I don't think you should feel guilty at all about the idea of pressuring him into, you know what I mean. Don't try to not let that stuff prevent you from having this conversation, I guess. Does that make any sense?
Okay.
Did I just make
sense?
No,
that does make sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
Katie, thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you for sharing this with us.
Good luck.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm going out to dinner with him now.
So. Oh, good. All right.
You can do
Katie, are you going to have this conversation with him tonight?
You should.
I think you should.
Yeah, probably after dinner, probably have this conversation.
Yeah,
send me an email tomorrow
and
morning,
listen,
please.
Yeah, and
let me know.
Katie, it can be as gentle and innocent as you just explained it to. I mean, not, you know what I mean? It can be gentle. It doesn't have to be like, I need to talk to you.
Right.
It can be like,
right,
hey, so I like, there's this thing that's kind of been nagging at my brain. I also called a weird podcast. Don't say that part.
yeah, don't tell them about the podcast and how much stress them out.
Okay, we love you, Katie.
Thanks, Katie.
Thanks. I love you guys too. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Charlie Day, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. God, when people call in with their real like problems, it's so
it's pretty cool, right?
It's so like you want to just hug somebody.
I know.
Like, you're gonna be okay.
I know.
You're gonna be fine.
I know. We experience that a lot.
But Charlie, you're really good at giving advice.
Yeah, you're really good.
You're one of the better advice givers.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, you think?
Definitely. Yeah.
I feel I feel like I have a lot of stuff figured out.
You do.
I don't know if I do, but I'm like, I've been that guy.
Experience.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, been around.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like it that you know what you want. You want a happy marriage. You want like happy childhood for your kid. And I love that. Like,
yeah,
it's inspiring.
Why would I want that? Yeah, I don't know.
And thanks for, I know you must be so beat and you're about
no,
to
No, I'm good.
Talk.
This is a rush. This was fun. Okay. Yeah, it was good.
Right. You've got this big press tour ahead of you now. So I know
you
got
to sell the movie. It's a funny movie.
Well, it's a funny movie. It's a great movie. And it comes out February 17th. It's called Fist Fight. And of course, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's in its 12th season now.
Yeah.
And it's on FX. And
FX,
they added an X for some reason. Excuse me, they added the X, right?
It's extra sex.
Extra sexy.
You know, it's like the most used letter in cars.
In
like
cars?
Car labeling.
X?
X.
I didn't know that.
For the sex appeal.
For the sex appeal. I just made that up.
Did you really?
I totally bought it, too.
But I actually really think it's true.
I bet that's true.
I think it's true, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't done a survey.
No, I
but
didn't.
I've definitely noticed how many cars have an X in them.
that was a stroke of genius.
It made sense.
Thanks,
guys.
That
was great. Yeah. That was great.
Nailed it.
Follow us on Unqualified and all of our social media. Oh, Charlie Day is finally on Instagram.
Finally, yeah.
Woo!
So I have 9 followers.
Oh, you're gonna have a blast.
Yeah, well, you're gonna have a lot more now. Tell us, are you at Charlie Day?
I'm Charlie Day official or official Charlie Day.
All right. Let's get you some more followers right now.
All right. I'm never going to show you pictures of my kid, though.
I love you guys.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye-bye.